time for a reading. Is Tom here for the reading? No? All right, well, let's read it together, shall we? The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid, and then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who's been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place and he came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astounded and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all these his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all of this? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor except in their own country and in their own house. And he did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief. That reading was from Matthew 13, verses 44 to 58.
Fantastic. Thank you, Simon. Well, friends, the Lord opens the doors of the church. This week, we are thinking about heaven's door being opened, and that's the only sermon slide I have. The image is on the wall. So I was installed into the chair and part of the furniture, and I seem to have seeped a little bit along, and I'm making the most of putting an image on the wall, which I will explain and will make sense as we go along, hopefully. But let me pray to begin, and then I'll tell you a story about why we're doing these 5 weeks. God, our Father, you bring life and movement and renewal and new opportunities. So give us eyes to see what you see. Speak with us and breathe into us your breath by your word. Amen. So why are we talking about church doors? Well, in 2019, Erin and I got to have the amazing opportunity. We were supported and sent over to the Alpha Leadership Conference in London, where thousands of people gathered from all over the world in the Royal Albert Hall. There were people from Hillsong in ripped jeans and t-shirts, worshipping God alongside Benedictine monks in their brown robes. There were Greek Orthodox in full black, worshipping God next to us Anglicans in our colourful cardigans. It was a real picture of every tongue and tribe gathering together in the throne room of heaven. If we're talking about heaven's door being opened, that for me was a visual. It was a sensory experience of heaven opening. It was a sneak peek, if you like. What struck me most was movement. After a session, you'd walk out into the corridor of the Royal Albert Hall, and there were people walking past you everywhere, some of them speaking in languages I didn't even know where they were from. Erin and I had moved from Australia to get over to the other side of the world, and we'd moved to get back home. And the whole point of the trip was for us to grow and to change and to move, to be different. It was a huge reminder that church, the word church, is not so much a destination. We talk about this as a church building. Church is kind of a place that we go to, But that's actually the smallest and narrowest definition of church. It's much more than that. Church is the people of God. So we are the church. We are the body of Christ. And then even more than that, church is not just people. It's a movement of people, a movement, a Jesus movement. It is people on a journey. It's not just a destination. It's not just people. It is people movement. I mean, what was Christianity first called? It wasn't initially called Christianity. If you go to Acts 11 from verse 25, it says, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. See, there's movement. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and the gathering and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. There was a name, Christian, that came a bit later at Antioch. And now we have the Christian label now. But what was the earlier label? Does anyone know? Call it out. What were Christians first called? Part of the way. Christianity was first called the way, probably after Jesus saying that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and probably also connected back to Isaiah, prepare the way of the Lord. But way just means road. It's like pathway. Prepare the pathway of the Lord. So when you hear church and Christianity, try not to think of destination and a closed building. Think about an open path or a road. And if you put closed doors or closed gates on a road, there's not going to be much movement, right? We need the way to be wide open, to be clear if we are going to walk it together with the Lord. But I'd gone over to London with a bit of frustration. Being a part of church is not always heavenly. I was feeling a bit of disappointment. And maybe you've had your disappointments too. Maybe you've had your roadblocks and obstacles along the way. Maybe you've had times on Sunday morning where it's just not quite right. Maybe you've been with Christian friends and it's complicated and it's messy. Well, for me, the complexity had added up over time, and I'd gone over to London asking the Lord for clarity. And the Lord provided. It started with a short phrase from HTB. This is Holy Trinity Brompton. It's a church in London called HTB. About having wide open doors. I heard lots of things, but that tiny phrase struck a chord in me, and over the few weeks I was away, it grew, it developed into a full picture about the five doors of the church. To be a healthy church, to be Christians, full of life, we need to have five doors wide open. Part of that picture is on the wall. So dots are there because they represent people. You know, the church is people. At the moment, four of those doors are closed. The one in the middle that's blocking the outside and the bottom are closed. Today we're talking about the first door being open, the door to heaven up the top. But in sitting with this picture, all of the complexity and all the disappointment, I started to go, okay, it has a place. Everything seems to slot together. And my heart found relief and I was renewed. It was a treasure. It was a gift to me. And it helped me greatly. And now that I'm lead pastor, I will unleash it on all of you. it would be unfair for me to keep it to myself, really. But I actually hope this shapes a conversation over this year. I actually hope we can have a conversation, and this forms a bit of a framework for us to talk throughout this year. And actually, maybe it'll shape us over the next 3 years, and maybe even beyond that. It's a conversation for all of us to have a voice in and contribute to. So let's have a look at the first wide open door. Friends, let's have heaven's door wide open. I'm going to read again from Matthew 13, a Bible reading. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Finding heaven's door open is the most valuable thing imaginable. And it's to be found now. Heaven's door is not just open for when we die and we go off to heaven. Heaven has and is breaking into earth right now. You know, I'm talking about praying the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." Every time we pray that, "on earth as in heaven," we're praying for God to break in to earth now and for his will, his heavenly will, to occur on earth. One of my earliest memories of having heaven's door being opened up for me was when I was a teenager. I was in a youth group. I actually grew up in a really tiny church, but we were able to start up a youth group, and I have such a strong memory of the first time the youth leader opened up the Bible, and it was so simple. We read the passage, he asked some questions, and we chatted. That's it. So simple. But something lit up for me. I was captivated. So anyway, it was just a short discussion, and then everyone went outside to jump in the pool. It was summer. It was hot. A bunch of teens given an opportunity to have fun. I wanted the Bible study to keep going. I'm serious. I was captivated. Heaven's door had opened up for me. I didn't want the conversation to end. I was alive to God's word. I was awakened to God's reality. It was this little window. It was only a tiny passage of scripture, but I know beyond a doubt it was the door to heaven being opened. So the big question I'd like to ask you, to ask each other throughout this week, you know, ask this to someone else, is what is your earliest memory of heaven's door being open for you? I've just shared you mine. What's that for you? You know, think about it. Think through this week. What is, and then ask people. Maybe ask people in your connect groups, or take someone out for a coffee or go for a walk and ask them. And then share yours with each other. It might be a big conversion moment, you know, out of the blue, you're just totally 100% in straight away. But often people have experiences leading up to that, or you might have had little experiences all throughout your life. But can you go back in your mind to your earliest experience where you thought, "Oh, you know, there's something going on here"? Maybe it was a feeling of having your heart strangely warmed. Maybe it was seeing something of the depth of the Christian faith. Maybe it's an uncanny coincidence and you thought, "No way, that's not a coincidence, that's a God incidence." Maybe it's in the middle of a worship song or a dream, or maybe you started praying with other people, or maybe it was taking that step as a disciple and showing mercy to someone in need, and you're like, "Yes, this is the kingdom of heaven breaking in right now." So that's my task for you, is to think for yourself, what's your earliest memory of heaven's door opening up, and ask each other and share those stories of finding treasure. So those parables, it's a simple message. Jesus is telling us, he's so simple. Those two parables tell us the same big message. The kingdom of heaven is valuable, so valuable. Like, drop everything, sell everything, do what you need to do to be there. And the way we experience life on earth at the moment, it's kind of rare. It's like it is hidden, treasure in a field. It's not as though we walk around and there's like gold nuggets on the ground all the time. It's rare. And everyday life can be a bit, you know, same, like a common pearl after common pearl. It's a lot of good, but not great. Like it's not captivating a lot of the time. And then all of a sudden, it's that rare occasion when you get the absolute zinger of a pearl. You know, that's the one, that's where I want to be, even if it's just a snippet. The hard reality is that not everyone wants heaven's door open. Not everyone buys into the field and to get the treasure. Not everyone commits. Some people see and turn away. The next parable there we heard, it says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. So God's love is for everyone. For God so loved the world, the whole world, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's a big net. Heaven's door is wide open. God has done his part. He has spoken through the ancient prophets, and then he sent Jesus. I mean, the celebration of Christmas is heaven's door being wide open, and God walks through it. He's then willing to die for us, and then he breathes out his spirit. Heaven's breath blows out of heaven's door. We are given spiritual gifts through heaven's door. But for some reason, we close the door. We close the door. We decide that God's got bad breath. We see that the light is too bright. We hear the good news of Jesus as bad news. Some fish don't want to be caught. Why do we do that? And I mean, all of us have moments of closing heaven's door. We all see, I was talking about online prayer. Online prayer is happening. You know, heaven's door being opened on the other side of a Zoom link. And we think, The Bible, God's voice is in the pages of Scripture. It's translated into English. And if English is your second language, I can guarantee you that language is there for you to read the Bible. If you don't have a physical printed Bible, it's online for free. There is no reason not to read the Bible. We have complete access. It is open to us. There's audio recordings if you're not a reading kind of person. And yet, pretty much everyone has this experience, me included. We have times where we see our Bibles, or we think, I could sit down and read the Bible, and we leave it closed. Sometimes we reject the blessing from heaven outright. Let me read that last part of our Bible passage from verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there, coming to his hometown. He began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, despite what he did, they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. He gets rejected from his own hometown, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. We close the door. We take offense at him. People choose hell and close the door on heaven. And that's what Jesus is talking about. He's saying this is serious. It's not half-hearted, lukewarm kind of stuff. Heaven is not a nice-to-have optional extra. And this is so hard for us to think about. Like, culturally, this is really hard in our wider social environment. There are so many questions this raises about God's love and our love for other people in our life. You know, What a great thing to mention on my first sermon in a new church. Yeah, just like go straight to the hard topics. I'm not going to give this a full treatment at the moment. All I want to do for now is to point you to my favorite resource. If this is a struggle for you, my favorite resource that kind of helped me the most. It's written by C.S. Lewis. It's called The Great Divorce. So it's a fictional novel. It's like he calls it a theological dream about heaven. It's a busload of people who arrive at heaven's gates after they've died. And it's just these little accounts of what happens to people as they arrive at heaven and just the intensity of it and what's going on. And just one by one, how some of them choose to turn around and get back on the bus and then go off into their own little kind of self-isolated and self-chosen hell. It's quite a vivid description. It's helped me a lot just to think about how can I come to understand this? How can I come to be at peace somewhat about this? So go and have a read if that's a burning question for you. Otherwise, come and talk to me. I'd love to chat with you about that. The last thing I'll say, and where I will finish, is fear not. Fear not. When angels turn up, when angels come out of heaven, when they turn up, what's the first thing that angels are always saying? For some reason, they always have to say, fear not. When they come through heaven's open door, they're so shocking. So powerful, so intense. Heaven is so intense that the first thing they have to say is don't fear, like the intensity. It is good news. God's power is not against you, it is for you. So fear not. Never forget that when we live under the cross of Jesus, the only thing coming out of that wide open heaven door is a smile. When we live under the cross, the only thing coming out of heaven for you is a smile. There is no condemnation, there is no judgment, there is no anger, just love. Someone's already gone, I didn't do that. I know that that's been there for a while. God is love. God's grace and forgiveness are always there to make a fresh new start. So friends, may you know that treasure we call the kingdom of heaven. And may you never close heaven's door, but work to keep it wide open so that many would come to know the abundant blessing and goodness of God. Amen. We're going to sing. As we get ready, why don't you just take a moment now just to have a moment with the Lord. You can close your eyes, do whatever you need to do, and just spend some time with Him. And maybe it's going back to that first memory. Maybe there's something about what I've said that you just want to bring before the Lord. Spend some time with Him, and then we'll sing together.